In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by thy Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of thee, and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. The epistle lesson for this Thanksgiving Day service is found recorded in the first epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, and reads as follows. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. Here endeth the epistle lesson. Now sing hymn 30. Our gospel lesson this morning is found recorded in the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 17, beginning at verse 11 and reading through to verse 19 as follows. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Here endeth the gospel lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed, as this is found on page 12 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. As sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this morning is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 6, verses 24 to 34, and reads as follows. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and man. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not more than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, as long as we live in this sinful world, plagued by the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh, there will always be things that bring us sadness and stress and that try to strip from our hearts true gratitude and thanksgiving to God, trusting in all of the wonderful promises of his fatherly care that he's given us. Now, the children of this world look for comfort and peace and security in earthly things, in their money, in their insurance policy, in their influential friends, and so on. And we Christians need to be careful that we don't fall into the same kind of mindset, the same kind of way of thinking that would distract us from following the Lord and his word, and again, which would strip our hearts of the proper attitude of thanksgiving toward God. The pursuit of money and worldly wealth often leads the heart away from God completely, as Jesus warned in his parable of the sower. Even though we do not have as much money or worldly possessions as some others that we may know, we all have to admit that we have much more than we need and far more than we deserve. So we should always be thankful for what we have. And it is important to remember, as we are taught on the basis of our text for today, that being truly thankful to God for the blessings he has given us means not loving them, those earthly blessings, more than him. In our text, Jesus teaches us in the first place that we cannot serve both God and the things of this world at the same time. Secondly, that we are not to worry about our earthly needs, for God has promised to satisfy them. And thirdly, that being truly thankful for the Lord's blessings, we are moved to serve him and trust in him. May God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. Since God demands that we love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, he makes it clear that he does not want us to let anything else become top place in our life or in our heart. God is to reign supreme. He's not to be displaced by anything or anyone else, nor is anything or anyone else to be put on his same level. God is to be worshiped and him alone. As Jesus correctly responded to the devil in the wilderness, saying, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." So God does not want our hearts to be divided when it comes to the worship and service of him. And to love, worship, or serve anything instead of or besides God does destroy the true, proper worship of the Lord. Now, in our text for this morning, Jesus sets forth the truth that a man's heart can really not be divided when it comes to service, serving two different masters who would give conflicting orders. Both can't be served at the same time. Jesus says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." A man can't be equally devoted to two different masters at the same time. The most that a servant could do if he had two masters would be to quickly switch between serving one and the other, and the other and the other. But they can't both be served at the same time. And from this general truth that man cannot serve two masters, Jesus makes the spiritual application, saying, "Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Now, that term mammon simply means money, wealth, earthly possessions, treasures. If such a false god as mammon is being served, then certainly God is not being served. And conversely, when we're serving the one true God, we're not serving mammon. The unbelievers, those who reject the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, well, they can only serve mammon, the things of this world. And as long as they remain in that condition of unbelief, they're never able to serve the one true God. Jesus, or the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Romans, describes how they used to be when they were unbelievers in this way. "Ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity. When ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness." Righteousness has no part in the lives of the heathen. It is completely absent from all their works. They're really not able to do a truly good thing in the sight of God, even if they wanted to, which they don't, because they lack both the desire and the ability to serve the Lord. And none of that means that an unbeliever can't do things that outwardly look nice. Unbelievers might seem to be very kind neighbors. They might give a lot of money to charity. They might make great sacrifices to better their community and so on. And yet, in the eyes of God, everything they do is sinful. The Bible says, "They that are in the flesh cannot please God." And again, "Without faith it is impossible to please him." Serving mammon, setting one's heart on the things of this world, money, earthly possessions, riches. That's characteristic of the unbelievers, but it's also something that we Christians find in our own sinful flesh. So we need to be on guard against such service of mammon. And we must confess that because of our sinful flesh, we're frequently pulled in that direction. It influences our decisions. And when we recognize that, we need to correct and repent. Yes, even Christians, when they follow their flesh, do sometimes serve mammon instead of God. They make choices that are not really God-pleasing, but they figure will result in earthly advancement, like working extra hours to make more money and sacrificing important quality time with the family, skipping church entirely so they can work more, or just so they can enjoy their mammon more. Putting much time and energy in the pursuit of worldly wealth and neglecting the Lord and His Word. Whenever someone succumbs to such temptations, he's breaking the very first commandment that tells us that we're to worship the Lord only, exclusively, and not let anything else take first place in our hearts. As Jesus says, ye cannot serve God and mammon. We are to be thankful to God for all the earthly blessings He's given us. But oh, how backwards it would be if we would ever start loving those gifts that God's given us more than we love God Himself, the gracious giver of those gifts. And doing that would be blatantly contrary to the proper spirit of true Christian thanksgiving. Since all of us have been guilty of serving mammon according to our sinful flesh, we all deserve the same punishment that will befall the unbelievers. We all deserve to be damned in hell. But thankfully, God in His rich grace and mercy sent Christ Jesus to atone for our sins. In His perfect life, we have righteousness. And in His innocent suffering and death on the cross, we've been freed from the punishment that we deserve because of our sins. That should always make us truly thankful. Those spiritual blessings that we have through Christ are the most valuable gifts imaginable. So we should never cease to be filled with gratitude and true thanksgiving for that. Indeed, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we Christians are the forgiven children of God, who rest securely under His loving fatherly care. With His loving fatherly care constantly surrounding us, we have no need to fear anything in this earthly life. Nothing can happen to us, really, that God will not work together for our good, for our benefit. So, no bodily or spiritual harm should distress us. And we should certainly not look to money or riches for insurance, for security, instead of God. That's completely contrary to the way the unbelieving world looks at things. They do place their trust in money and insurance policies and things like that. And if they can imagine a contingency that wouldn't be satisfied by such things, well then, they're very scared and worried about what might happen in the future. But that's not how the Lord wants us to feel when thinking about the future. That's not how God wants us to think about our day-to-day lives. He wants us to trust His promises concerning His preservation and care. He says in our text, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Our loving Heavenly Father, who gave His only begotten Son into death to save us from our sins, will certainly take care of us in all of our earthly needs. He's given us our life. He's given us our bodies. Those are greater gifts than the food we put into our bodies or the clothes we put onto our bodies. So the Lord who has given us those great gifts will certainly preserve them to us, according to His will. So in our text, Jesus draws our attention to consider how God cares for even less important creatures and would thereby impress upon us the fact that He will certainly care for us, His believing children, who are much more valuable to Him than things like birds and flowers. We read, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" It is God who provides for the care of the birds. He provides them with food day by day so that they're able to survive, even though they do not have the same kind of ability and understanding and things that humans have. So birds do not make farms for themselves and till the ground and sow seed, plant, water plants, and so on. God still takes care of them. And Jesus wants you to understand he's certainly going to take care of you. You are more valuable to God than birds. By faith in Christ Jesus, you've been made his adopted child, whom he loves very much. And with God's gracious care, there's nothing you need to worry about. He'll satisfy all your needs. Be thankful for that. Worrying about what might happen in the future is not compatible with the proper spirit of thanksgiving. Plus, it doesn't help. We have no control over the future. We don't even have enough control over our own bodies to make ourselves 1 foot taller or extend our lives by a year simply by concentrating our mental energies upon it. So then why would we think that we can control the future and things outside of our bodies just by worrying and stressing out? Jesus says in our text, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add 1 cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Yes, God even dresses the wild flowers of the field in such a way that their beauty surpasses the royal apparel of Solomon, the richest king of Israel. And Jesus' point here is that compared to us, the wildflowers and grass of the field are so insignificant. They're here today, and tomorrow they're being cut down and used as fuel for fire. But the fact that God so magnificently clothes the plant life should assure us that he will also clothe us. We are his beloved children for Christ's sake, after all. We Christians are so richly blessed to have God as our loving Heavenly Father, our constant friend, helper, protector, guide, that we should never cease to be truly thankful for his rich blessings. It's a fact that unbelievers receive great blessings from God too. They just don't thank him for those blessings. They're not capable of God-pleasing thanksgiving, because they despise and reject his gospel of grace in Christ Jesus. So they lose the enduring promises of the gospel. It makes sense that the unbelievers would worry about the future, worry about death and the coming judgment. Even atheists who deny the existence of God and a judgment to come really cannot have true comfort in thinking about the future, because for them, the future holds so much uncertainty, pain, no guarantees of happiness. So it makes sense why the unbelievers would be consumed with worries, but we Christians should not be. Jesus says in our text, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles, the unbelievers, seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." instead of obsessing and focusing only on the things of this earthly life, God really wants our focus to be instead directed to spiritual things, to heavenly things, to the things of God's kingdom, His kingdom on earth, His holy Christian church, and the blessed kingdom of heaven that awaits us after this earthly life. And these are the things that are the most wonderful, the things that we should be most thankful for on Thanksgiving Day and every day of our lives. God's grace in Christ Jesus should move us to have a truly thankful heart, which then should move us to love Him in return and devote our lives to His service, desiring to follow His commandments, to grow in our ability to serve Him better, to grow in our knowledge and understanding of His Word. Jesus says in our text, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, all those earthly needs, shall be added unto you." Yes, we are to seek first the things concerning God's kingdom, His righteousness, the forgiveness of sins that He offers us in the gospel of Christ Jesus. That's how our faith is built up and strengthened. We're to also focus and meditate upon His law, whereby our path is directed in ways that are pleasing to Him. And yes, here in our text, God promises that those who do seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, will have all the necessities of life taken care of. They will have food and clothing provided for them by the Lord. So there's no need to worry about such things. If such wonderful promises from God do not comfort our hearts and fill us with thanksgiving, then we're not taking His word seriously. And we need to repent for doubting His great promises. We should be completely comfortable leaving the future, all of our needs, in the gracious hands of the Lord, and not worrying about what might or might not happen in the future. Jesus says in our text, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." There is enough evil, enough sin to deal with just today. Don't worry about solving tomorrow's problems today. Simply pray for the protection and guidance that the Lord promises, and then be comforted in the knowledge that He'll keep those promises. Now, it's not a sin to plan for the future, but it is a sin to worry about the future. And of course, we should always remember, too, that whenever we're making plans about the future, our plans are subject to the will of God. He may decide to direct things completely differently than what we had planned. So then we should follow the inspired instruction recorded by the Apostle James, where he writes in his epistle, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." So as we live out our lives here on earth, we need to be careful that we don't let the things of this world distract us from following the Lord according to His word. We need to be aware of the temptation to serve mammon instead of serving God. We need to be aware of the temptation of letting worldly cares cause us to doubt God's promises, to make us worry about the future. Knowing that by faith in the Lord Jesus, we are the forgiven children of God, we're assured of His grace and loving care. We can confidently commit ourselves into His safe keeping, always seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness, in the spirit of true thanksgiving. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Receive, O God, the thank offering which we now place before Thee on this Thanksgiving Day. We realize, O Lord, that we give Thee but Thine own, whatever the gift may be, and that all that we have is Thine alone, which Thou hast entrusted to us to use according to Thy will. Therefore we ask Thee to bless these offerings for Thy mercy's sake. Amen. Let us rise to pray. O Almighty and most merciful Father, Thou giver of every good and perfect gift, we give Thee hearty thanks for blessing us so richly with Thy precious word and holy sacraments, and supplying us so abundantly with all that we need for our daily necessities. Thou hast richly blessed us. O Lord, Thou makest us to dwell in a goodly land, and Thou Thyself carest for it. Thine eyes are continually upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end. Thou hast ordained for us our government, and dost endow those in authority with wisdom so to rule, that we have been kept safely under their governance, and have spent our days in quietness and peace. Thou dost continue to preserve for us freedom of religion, so that without hindrance we may freely serve Thee according to Thy word, be quickened in our most holy faith, confess Thy name, and spread abroad Thy precious gospel. And that Thy gracious blessing may continue among us, fill the hearts of men throughout our conference with the earnest desire to serve Thee in the pastoral office, that none of our congregations may be without the leadership of a faithful shepherd. In our homes and church, teach our children the knowledge of the saving truth, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Him, Thou dost daily and richly forgive us all our sins, and dost not deal with us according to our iniquities. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is Thy mercy toward us. With the finger of Thy Holy Spirit, write in our hearts the continuous remembrance of Thy goodness and faithfulness. Open our lips that we may praise Thy grace and mercy and confess Thy holy name and Thy pure word. As Thou hast prospered us in earthly goods, make us willing and ready to praise Thee by our works and to honor Thee with our substance for the extension of Thy kingdom. Let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, that we have compassion on our neighbor in his need, even as Thou hast had pity on us. Preserve us from vanity and pride, lest we say in our hearts, our power and the might of our hands hath gotten us this wealth. But let us remember Thee, the Lord our God, by whose power, wisdom, and blessing, our church, our nation, our government, our homes, our family, and all of us as individuals are preserved, to the end that we may teach, as a memorial forever, that Thou indeed hast done great things for us, and that we rejoice in Thy grace. We especially give Thee thanks today for the glorious salvation Thou hast secured for us in the saving work of Jesus Christ, Thy Son, our Lord, in whose name we furthermore pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, from whom we receive exceeding abundantly all good gifts, and who daily of thy pure grace in Christ our Savior guardest us against all evil, grant, we beseech thee, thy Holy Spirit, that acknowledging with our whole hearts all this thy goodness, we may now and evermore thank and praise thy loving kindness and tender mercy. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We shall now sing verse 3 of hymn 36.